They don't even typeset their newspapers. Newspapers. Isn't that funny? A paper of news. Paper news. Not iron news. Not clay news. Not bread and butter news, but newspaper. It's pretty interesting. You take something that's not worth anything and put it on something else that's not worth anything. It's not worth the paper that it's printed on. What a little glib thing that was. But this line, once that's over, that's when we were allowed to open up. We now have it captive to where we can actually engage the human interaction. We can bring them into a place, those that are intrigued and interested, and notice that they are. It's quite an anomaly how they start to war against us a bit. And that's great, because then because before there was nothing to war over, was there? There was nothing to note. All of a sudden, now there's something to fight about. Isn't it great fun?
So what exactly...
Hey, Jonathan, I got a question.
Yeah.
When you say this, the cloud started in the post-Gutenberg phase, that's the cloud of Bill Gates and the Android meme. It's not the cloud you're making.
No, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's the same cloud. We had to make the space. We had to make the space, but see, Bob, we couldn't make our cloud until you all knew what a cloud was. So you're using that parallel as an example of we had to create something. Okay. If there's always been sex or coitus, would you agree?
Yes.
Okay, but there wasn't always pornography.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, pornography comes in with the printing press.
That's exactly right. So you have this obverse picture of anything you want to see, basically. You can see anything. In a pornographic version. So there was always sex or coitus, but there wasn't always pornography. Now, some have disdain for pornography, and others embrace pornography, but that's not the point. The point is that you had to show what sex was from pornography. So the Bill Gates, and Bill Gates didn't even have a cloud. Good Lord, suffering cats.
Here we go.
That cloud is the pornographic version of data storage. Okay?
Yes.
Laid out, and everybody knows what that is. Well, they think they do, but it's like electricity. They use electricity, and they still don't even know what electricity is. So we find it kind of glib that they're trying to say, oh, we know all about that. And that's okay. They don't have a clue. But those archetypes that they're embracing brings them into the plausible conclusion that they'll recognize our clouds. If we put the other planet that's in quick revolution to show up in your atmosphere of your third rock from the sun. Isn't it funny how we made the show work out from the third rock from the sun? So now everybody within a hearing realm knows what the third rock from the sun is. Except you, Bob, but it's Jane Curtin's party, so that's how that goes. So,
yeah.
Third rock from the sun, if we pop that up today and it made it noted, no. Then it's the end of the world as we know it. Oh, my stars, blah, 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 blood running, dogs and cats laying together, the Megiddo, they start filling up with blood, and the vampires get happy, and the Lemurians jump out of the whale, and the frogmen come over and jump over all the rectociles and the imbeciles and the reticulocytes that come along from inky, misty darkness to come to take you over in your bed, under your bed. The boogeyman has come. So you can't do it like that. It's too much. So you have this cloud where everything is stored. You have this world where everything is. You convince everybody that everything was. Then you find out that there is no time. And then all of a sudden everybody jumps on Bob's bandwagon and says, holy fucking Jesus God, there really was no time. How did we ever take time to figure this out? And then everybody's going to sing in the praises, and then they're going to want to kill Bob because he knew all along. He's some mysterious, some boogie man coming down there. We love to hate Bob and love to hate Bob and hate to love Bob. And we love him till we hate him, and then we hate him till we love him. We run all the way through there, and then we finally, meanwhile, Bob don't even want to talk. He didn't want to even say hello. He says, hey. Jonathan, Bob barely talks to us, and he kind of digs us, and he barely digs to us. It's quite an infarction when there has to be a JW involved in a conversation pretty much at all, and welcomely so. It's a soft, soothing Gentile. Well, it would be a Gentile, yes, a Gentile experience rather than a Hebrew. But he might be a Jewlite, if not an Israel dart. But even so, that interaction that allows this to be known, you have to have the fault so you can replace it with the genuine. You have to know what it is to know what you're missing. See, you don't know good from bad. You don't know hot from cold. You don't know bitter from sweet. That's the Passover. You're getting ready for your Passover. It's coming along. This is going to be a special Passover. You're not even asking about all that. We're really kind of pouring it out here pretty fast. So Bob can pull out some fragment of something that might be valuable or worth something. The cloud is going to replace every institution that includes everything that was ever introduced vulgarly, however stern, regarding the android meme.
Okay, so on my tie note chart, I symbolize the android meme as the Arthur Coker quadrant, and one of the symbols in that quadrant is the cloud. Now, when you're talking about the cloud, is that what I mean by the android meme? The first cloud, the fake cloud, that's android
meme. You're talking about Simon Says. Do you remember Simon Says?
That's the android meme. Because
yes, that's the Simon Says version. The first cloud is Simon
Says. The cloud you're making
made Cowell rich.
Cowell.
Simon Cowell.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's not your cloud that you're making, the genuine cloud. The genuine cloud, did you talk about the genuine cloud in that rant you just did? Or were you just talking about the android meme?
We did of what you come to,
Yeah.
The part that they're going to hate you for.
Yes. Did the building of the genuine cloud start on March
18, 2009? We don't do time.
Okay, did it start when you showed up with me and Caroline?
Okay. Then, we would say linearly, no. It actually started in 1640. That's where you started it, Bob.
Okay. All right, then
Don't stop there. You wanted anything. That's what you wanted, so.
Well, is that, did it start in Italy, Oliver Cromwell, 1640? What king was happening in France at that point? And which pope? This is the way we bypass time, Jonathan. We talk about what was going on at the time of something. We were at the same area. Now, they could get nebulous because everything's going on at the same time, same something.
Right.
Always.
Irridum. Succeeds Murad IV, the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire. The Siege of Gaul. Dutch troops take a strategic fortress at Gaul, at Sri Lanka, from the Portuguese.
Right.
King Charles I of England tries to fund the Second Bishop's War. Short parliaments dispersed.
Am I Ophanel Habab at that point? Still,
you are.
Or yeah. Hobab. Ophanel Hobab. So, Jonathan.
Hobab.
I'd like you to ask Jonathan the question. I've been building the idea that this whole 20th century or a good span recently is Bob's hologram. That someday, Jonathan, science will move to the point where you will be able to live as Shakespeare or anybody. You've probably heard of that idea. You'll live like in a matrix tube and be things you've heard about. I'm thinking that I'm avant-garde in that way. I've created a hologram, and all that's happened in the last, at least with Eindem, and maybe the last 100 years that Eindem says I'm in the middle of all, is my hologram. I can ask him about that, but you ask about me. Now, he'll give you Jonathan's version of it, but I'm interested in having you ask about me at some point in this session. It doesn't have to be right now if you have a question about 1640.
I have a question about 1640 specifically, or I have a question about...
But what he just said. I brought up me as a hologram. You don't have to ask that now. I want that done before the session ends. But
right.
You go with what you get from what Ian just said about all those events in 1640.
Okay, well, what I want to talk about that around that 1640 is Ion, the you play around a lot, especially with all the royal families, the Mottbottoms and everything, with that they're ascended and they can tap into other worlds. And we talked, and I heard a session about King Leopold's wife. Whereas, are all the rulers ever the successful ones? I guess you want to call that the ones that seem to live their power. Those are ascended, and the ones that didn't do so hot, those would be the ones that refused to tap into the power or didn't tap into the power.
The best one are the only one. Well, there's several of them, but they come. Now, when you start marrying the Mountbatten and the Windsors, George is probably the best or the only one that's going to apply.
George the Fifth?
Louis and James.
Louis and James. Do you mean George the Fifth of England?
Well, that's the map. You're asking about Mountbatten and Windsor, are you not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, the one from Cambridge would apply, the newest one, Prince George of Cambridge.
Oh, the baby, the child.
We don't see it that way.
Okay. So you're saying that the child is going to be the most tapped into everything, or is already?
You asked about the Mountbatten Windsor in the registry. That is the connection.
All right. What about his great-grandmother, Elizabeth? She's been on the throne for longer than anyone ever. Is she going to continue to sit upon that throne for long periods of time still?
The only reason that she is in that is because of the Duke of Edinburgh. Under a declaration made in the council in 1960, the declaration specifically applies to the name Mountbatten Windsor, the male line descendants of the Queen not holding royal styles, the titles Mountbatten Windsor has been used by descendants of Queen Elizabeth II who do not hold less than royal styles. So it's the ones they do have royal styles. See, Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, and Anne, and Prince, the Princess Royal, children of the Queen, use the surname Mountbatten Windsor in their marriage registry.
Mm.
So this is going to get you all the way to the Pendragons if you'll pay attention.
Right.
But you've got to get you have other issues. You got the Glucksberg. You got the Glucksbergs.
Mm-hmm.
The House of Oldenburg. Bob can tear you up on that. You got the entire Russian Empire. You got the Kingdom of Denmark. You got the Kingdom of Norway, Sweden, Greece. You got Schleswig's. It's astounding. Because you go before 1448 with Elimar the First. Then you're going to pull it all the way up to Nicholas the Second. You're going to pull it all the way up for Augustenborg. This all connects. That's what we're trying to softly say. So if you're going to go that far, that's beautiful, wonderful, fine, but that's not what you're actually asking, is it?
No, well, yes and no. What I'm asking...
Well, there you go.
Yeah. What I'm asking is, so all the royals are connected across all of Europe. Did they have abilities that they're, or a force of will that were much greater than their subjects.
Okay. I guess the only way you're ever going to get this is Oh, you got to go a long way. Louis Alexander Mountbatten. He's the first Marquis of Milford Haven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the German prince, and that's where all this starts rolling to, not from.
Okay.
And you go all the way down to Prince Alexander of Hesse and by the Rhine.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Prince Wilhelm of Baden.
Mm-hmm.
Countess Palatine, Caroline of Zweibrücken. Then you're falling down to Ignatius Hawk, H-A-U-K-E. Now, that gets fancy later. That's the same Hawk that made your famous crystal that you know very well.
Okay.
The Hawk's crystal line.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay, yes.
You know it well.
Ion, all these people you're naming... Did I, as Ofen El Habab, interact with them, and they knew me, or did
yes,
I hide
they did.
From them?
Most all of them did. You couldn't hide, Bob. You were on everything moving.
At least in 1640, these names, Louis.
Well, ever since Soupy Sales was on What's My Line.
Yes, with Kitty Carlisle.
They loved Kitty Carlisle. Yes, she was wonderful.
Yeah. So, and Johnson, New York City, as we know it today, existed at the time of Babylon, way back there, maybe the time, no, not of Atlantis.
It's not even worth the string of beads they paid for it.
Okay, carry on, Johnson.
So, without time and without any kind of thing like that, but we can... go through and access the people that are in existence. While we do this, do we influence and change them absolutely directly?
It would affect it, yes.
Mm-hmm. So much so.
Johnson, you said while we do this, you mean IONDOM activities, like talking to ION.
Well, I actually just meant any sort of form of our kind of remembering, or however you want to say it.
Well, remembering, well, that's right. Your remembering is the putting it back together. So if you can put it back together, you can remember it. You put it back into its compartment. So it had to be in your memory to remember it, in your remembrance. So some of this is outside of it, but then we can say the words, and all of a sudden you connect it.
But does that change that? Or affects it, I should say.
Well, it's not really affected, it's more applied, isn't it?
More applied, than those you, okay. So it's more
apply it.
Cool.
Apply it.
Yeah.
Well, if you can apply it, it applies.
Mm-hmm.
There was a suggestion that you weren't talking loud enough, Johnson, so maybe talk a little louder. I think you're okay, but
all right,
talk just a little louder.
Yeah,
for the recording.
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to get at, Johnson? What was the opening idea that you wanted to know about?
The opening idea is us discussing, Prince Louis Mountbatten. Does that change?
No. Prince Louis of Battenberg.
Yes.
Then you go to Countess Julia Hawk. Then you go to Count John Maurice Hawk. Then you go to Frederick Carl Emanuel Hawk, down to Ignatius Hawk in that line. Bob's trying to get somewhere. Now that's a lot of words, we know. So now you're going to go on the other side, and you got Prince Alexander of Hesse and by Rhine. And then that goes into Louis II, the Grand Duke of Hesse by the Rhine, which then goes all the way down to Countess Pauline Carolyn of Schwerbeck.
Do the Turnentax's house family intermingle with these German names you're talking?
Yes, the Bino, Leopold, Ignatius, LaFontaine.
He's a Turnentax's?
That's where it comes to.
Oh, okay.
The Conleys, you know that, what you call Cornelli. The Cornellis, yes.
Yeah.
Some of that damn Medici money, Bob, you know.
That's the Medici, Johnson. The Medici family.
The Medici's how you say that, Mrs.
Are the Knights Templars independent of the stream you just are talking about? Or did they mix in with it? Did they go underground and mix in relatively anonymously?
No, it wasn't anonymous. They mixed in, Bob. You know that. There's tons of miscegenation in that whole foolishness. You know this.
Okay. Go ahead, Jonathan.
So, falling back on the Hesses, does us discussing them now change their reality in itself?
Yes, they're rewriting the lineage as we say right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're laughing. Hey, you're laughing, but
I'm not laughing. I'm trying to grasp more readily.
Jonathan, bring in your adolescent interest in Egypt. See mm-hmm. what part of what you studied that you know relates to this.
All right. We'll go with one of the Akhenaten period, where it all switched to monotheism for a bit, and then they brought in the boy king. Discussing that, is that something that we fabricated and forced on the royal family, or is that something that is happening and we are just making it applicable?
Do you mean the Egyptian royal family or the British royal family?
The Egyptian royal family.
Okay.
Well, if you're going to go, it would be actually compare it. You would actually have to run it. It's actually before. It's before that period. What Bob says, the 18th dynasty, which would be 1332 to 1323 BC.
Mm-hmm. It's before that.
I was the successor. So is your question this from Nefertiti for Nerdem, is that one that comes after it? Because the consort might be the half-sister and a cousin, but that's going to run it right in that same bumping age. So. Tutankhamun.
Go ahead. Tutankhamun. Go ahead.
Then. You got to bring that all the way up to Howard Carter. Which, so all this occurred, but no one knew about it until Howard Carter.
Mm-hmm.
You get that, right?
Yeah, that's 1922.
That's correct. That's why that's... Yeah. Now, that was the fifth Earl of Carnarvon.
Mm.
Yes?
Okay.
Yeah.
That connects.
So, is that the connection between the Egyptian and the Egyptian royals and the British
yes.
royals?
The DNA. Hold on. Okay. Don't answer that. Don't ask that. Just wait 1 second. Yes, the answer to your question is yes. The DNA test that prove that, and the one that you're going to know that as, which we've changed it already, but it's Mummy, KV55, proves ascension.
Ian, we're moving through Egyptian dynasties towards the Garden of Eden, correct?
That's correct. Now, the second one would be Akhenaten's sister and wife. This mummy is KV35YL. And this is important because this is how they did the strands, the dots, the schmears, a jelly schmear. They had bagels with cream cheese and a little jelly schmear. The schmears prove ascension.
And does that involve with the hypothalamus too?
It does. And that's why they would take it out sometimes to preserve it. But see, they had to do, no one cared about that. The little jars where they put the innards. The only reason they put the innards in those jars is so they could be preserved for the afterlife. Afterlife, that we were living life, that they weren't. They were getting ready for the life they were to live. That's the whole God thing that they were trying to lay out. One more time, as we said through history over and over and over, you laid out your history so you could find your way like the fat one going to the house to be eaten by the witch. So they're trying to find their way, and they leave their little drops of bread, and then they lose their way. You left the breadcrumbs like Hansel and Gretel, as you say, to the point where you can find your way back to your palace. So this is what that's about. And in all the hieroglyphs and everything that lays out, the rule, the book of the dead, all that gobbledygibbledygibbledygibbledygib stuff is one more example of how the Gutenberg reality tried to lay out something in stone. There we got to your stone, Bob. In stone that people could embrace to get themselves back to God. Now you're coming back to the stone because you finally killed the radio star.
In the Chambord Castle and the Castle Beauregard, there's lots of Egyptian imagery. These people, the Germans and that we're talking about, even though it's Gaul, are they aware of the 12 castles I built and part of the information there? Did they co-create it with me? Did they just stand back and marvel? The recent information you've given us.
No, what they marveled at is how you paid for it. That's what they marveled at.
Right, and that involved what I call parallel world economy, bringing over gold from other worlds.
No, you just said build it, and don't worry about it.
Right. The people that John has evoked here, going back to 1640, did they contribute to the building of the castles? Did they work with the motive I had, or were they counter?
No, they didn't know. You didn't care. You never asked that before. You never care. You'd play and have quarters with the devil his fucking self if it got you what you was trying to get to, Bob, and you know full well you would at any given time. It has no matter to you at all whatsoever in Antum. So that's fine, but good luck with that because you're going to do what you do, and that's perfectly wonderful. Fine. We think it's fabulous, personally, but...
But there's been a traditional rivalry between the French royalty and the German oligarchy. Is it based in this Chambord action and 12 castles, or is it based on other stuff, other competitions?
It was David Bryce you were working with.
Okay, Jonathan, you ask about David Bryce. So get back to you.
Who is David Bryce?
He's who designed the castle.
Mm-hmm. The Chambord Castle, okay.
He's a Scottish architect. He also did the surgical hospital in Edinburgh in 1853. And he has Fettes College main building, and it's pretty exciting.
Is that spelled B-R-Y-C-E, David Bryce, architect, 1803, born 1803?
David Bryce, B-R-Y-C-E, yes.
Yes. Was he living before 1803 in the body as David Bryce, or he started in 1803? Is he some of these eternal people or not? Consciously eternal people, like Saint Germain. Is he part of that gang?
Well, you can. Well, the answer would be yes, but that's not what you want to know. Is the answer?
Is he around today in this world?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
See, so you caught it. Here's how he saved it, Jonathan. He ran into it, and he knew how we were going to answer. But then he said, "In this world." And what he's actually trying to portray here is that obviously there are interactions with multi worlds. There's multi strains of the same world. Just as you have different strains through your day, you have that many worlds as well. Or your Doctor Who famous Queen Victoria. Not in my world is what comes to mind. And that's exactly how it was. Because not in her world all the way before we ever got all the way into your little Jack Hartman rage, which is where that came from, obviously, from the Doctor Who connection, Captain Jack Hartman, which then turns into Bob's most imminent face of foe. It's a great connection all the way in and out that make those all connect in the dots, which even make those series, do they not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that series becomes a chain. Well, that chain becomes a reaction. Well, that reaction becomes an innovation or reaction or a novation by definition, which changes the grounds, what's written down that is. It's a new contract is written. Novation was our reference, wasn't it? We think that's where we started that. Yes, good. Nice segue there, Jonathan.
Very nice indeed.
Okay, taking a little break here. See if anybody's here. Clip on everybody. Anybody have any comment on what they're hearing?
Yes,
hi,
I'm
Bob.
Very amazed because
it just meant Jenny. It's you, Roxy. Go ahead, Roxy.
He's talking about the Book of Stone and all these things that we talk about today.
Yeah, right.
So this thing, I'm like, wow. And he also mentioned this episode, no, season 4, episode 5 to me. So I'm like, because he said that thing is going to trigger some changes.
Yeah, I
for
got the phrase
and
here.
You kill the,
yeah,
the radio star phrase. Or something.
No, the J.J. Abrams is assisting in genetic peptide bonding. And his work, season 4, episode 5, called Novation in the Fringe series, it gives clues into work that we are all engaging in. And Lady Gaga is helping also with her series on Walking Dead, the American Hotel. All right, so...
yes, and this is when you see, like, they're really... looking what you're doing, or they know what they're going to do, and then they talk about it before you did it, and it's what he's talking about, that there is actually no time, and he's proving it.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah!
Well, did you note the part about Edinburgh, and how Edinburgh was, you know, something we talked about 10 hours ago? He's emphasizing Edinburgh, and that's David Bryce, the architect, the Scottish architect. And other things about Edinburgh in there. So, yeah, that's January 18th. 5 days later, we're talking about stuff. Now, maybe he is saying those things because he's pulling it out of my head because I've already experienced it on the 18th, you know. Or he just says it, not because it's in my head, but it's appropriate to the topic that you brought up, Roxy, today. The Scottish connection. And you got that date, 1640. Bocanelli, what about him?
One of the topics he talked. One of the things he was talking about was how everything was written not only in the Gutenberg Galaxy books, but in the books of stone. That I say is not a book, but more like an encyclopedia. And the cathedral had all the knowledge of people in that place. And he's making this reference to what we talk about.
Yes.
In a very short phrase. And he also did an example of what I was talking about, the green language. He always called the Medici the Damici.
Is that a real term in history? Is that part of the green language?
Well, Amici in Italian means friend. So I suppose they were your friends.
Yeah.
And, instead of saying Medici. Medici is like a doctor.
Yeah.
He's telling you your friends. The Amici.
What do you call him? Amici? Is that what he said? Amici?
Said... He plays with words like the type of things Fulcanelli was mentioning, like you change a word or you change something in the word, and it has an occult meaning. It has another level of meaning.
Yeah.
And he's giving an example of these things we were talking about.
Yeah. Anything you picked up on, Bert?
Yes, Ion mentioned something that I had a question. It's funny, he mentioned something about the other planet showing up in the solar system.
Yeah, yeah.
There was
planet.
A report
yeah.
this week.
And
then also about the what was interesting about the cloud being designed when the printing press was destroyed.
Right.
And that
I think he actually
cloud,
said that
he mentions was.
Hey, no, Bert, didn't he say that the cloud began in 1640? The setup. What you could say, they had to create the thing, the crust of Gutenberg Galaxy, and then the cloud has to bounce off that. But you had to create the crust first, the thingness.
Yeah.
Check that when you re-listen to it. I had to delete.
A lot of clues.
I had to delete. Who funded the cloud? I wasn't allowed to let that out. Interesting. Who funded the cloud? In 1640 AD, maybe, but more questioning might. What did he actually? If you hear, he says the cloud goes way back there, but you have to find out what way he means that. Because remember, nothing he said.
Yeah.
It started off with Jonathan talking about the simulation, the fake shit. The pornography is necessary so you know how to create something real. So you got to create the inauthentic first. Or you wouldn't know what was real. So that's a pattern he's saying there.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay, Ginny. I think Ginny wanted to say something.
Oh, I just wanted to say good morning. And also I noticed that Leopold was born in 1640. So maybe that had to do with something.
Oh.
No. Did he say that, or are you looking up in Wiki?
No, I'm looking in the Wiki.
No, the Leopold we talk about is 19. He dies around 1910. He's in the Congo in the 1850s, 60s.
Oh, okay. So this is the first Leopold who was in all the conflicts with the Ottoman Empire. And then the Great Turkish War and all the rest of this. He was coronated in Frankfurt, and he was the king of Germany.
Oh, okay. Again, we have the impossible Germany, the song we played today. Yeah, go ahead. What?
And which Leopold you were talking about?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead,
Ginny.
Leopold the First was the Holy Roman Emperor, and he was the heir apparent of the Holy Roman Empire, and was in all these conflicts with the Ottoman Empire, and also with Louis the XIV. So he had a big piece in the whole history of Europe and Austria.
And we'd have to note which Leopold he was talking about. He might have been talking about your guy, or he might have been talking about the Belgium guy. It was just
right. Well, I brought in Leopold just as 1640, what would be the significance of that year that would kind of
right.
follow Ion's patterns of focusing on, you know, inductions of different phases. So that's kind of what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm just looking for the Leopold German, Leopold Ludwig, 1625 to 1694. Yeah. So there has to be re-questioned in there. I mean, he just threw out a whole bunch of names, the Hawk family, a whole bunch of people, strung them along there, probably several hundred years worth.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to say, Bob, is sometimes it kind of sounds like, you know, genealogies out of the Bible. You know, I mean, there's all these begats, 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 begats,
yeah.
And then you kind of get to the pay dirt of who was really the influential parallel world person who was actually doing something, and everything else is just a breadcrumb. So,
yeah,
you know,
said
you kind
that.
Of have... Oh, okay,
he said
very
something
good.
About it's not going to, but going from. I don't know which preposition it was, but if you listen to it again, he makes that distinction, which fits into what you're saying. It's not who they're coming from, it's who they're going to.
All right, very good. Yeah, exactly. Good. Okay. Yep,
the main point, Ginny, is that I knew them all. They all fucking interacted with me. I was there interacting with everybody, apparently. If they didn't know me, they were nobody in history.
Yes, well, that stands to reason, Bob. That makes perfect sense.
We don't need your treasury of cynicism around here, Ginny. Let's back off.
Was I cynical? I know I said it made perfect sense. I'm agreeing with you absolutely.
Yeah, sure
I mean,
you
my
are.
God,
yeah, yeah,
look,
yeah.
Look what happened to my life the minute I met you.
I wasn't born 2,000 years ago, Ginny. I've been here a lot longer than that.
Oh my gosh, Bob! Absolutely,
I can detect frequencies. Look at Bert laughing there. Bert knows; he heard it.
No, it's true. It's true, Bob. It's true.
Nothing's true, Ginny. You just blew it there. Nothing is true. You relied on a lie.
I know. That's why I said that, Bob.
Oh yeah, you covered your ass. All right, okay. Well, let's go back and listen to what we're listening to. There's a lot more. Way more coming.
Way more coming. Almost, okay, very good.
Yeah. All right. Everybody, did you want to say one more thing, Roxy? Anything? I know there's too much to
say. Yes, the father from Carlota, the Empress of Mexico, the wife of Maximilian from Habsburg, was also a Leopold. And they were, I think, the richest during their time, because they had these mines of diamonds in Congo.
Right. Remember Ion said, don't buy diamonds from somebody, from the Syrophoenicians or something? That was said today. Not necessarily then, but
yeah, so maybe
anyway,
he's referring to that Dr. Leopold, the father of Carlota,
right.
The Mexico
right.
Empress.
You know, when I was thinking, as I heard myself telling Jonathan, you know, New York City was way back there in Babylon. That's not accurate. New York City wasn't back there in Babylon. They're all in the same place. radiating from the Garden of Eden, you know, chips off the block. So I would take back that.
Yes, and another thing that I found very interesting is that all the museums and arts, it's all obsolete because as everything is happening at the same time, there is no... I mean, if there is no time, there is no sense in keeping what we think is saving some type of object
value
from the past.
Yeah. I got that. He was saying that people will look at art, you know, momentarily. That's why the art market is so huge, because anybody can paint anything and retrieve anything. There's always some person who finds it interesting. They don't know anything about the history of art. They don't care about the history of art. If they want a painting, there's a market where you can get all kinds of paintings they can look at and decide what they're going to buy. So the preserving of value isn't relevant anymore. But, of course, the balance to that is, okay, take a Picasso, let's charge $1 billion for it, you know. That's the balancing, centralizing visual space function. It's like having a Harry Potter. People want, little man wants centralized reference points. So art is just a centralized reference point for those who have visual space, credit, gold, and cash. You know, that's all they can say.
As the mystery landscape is becoming more visible and people is aware that there is no time, there is no more point in having museums. Or...
Right. There's no time. And look, people engage their eyes with so many diverse things. Why go into a room and look at a simple little painting? It's too slow. There's not enough eye activity there. Okay, so let's move forward here. I will send you back to your cages, your little boxes of imprisonment. And we'll see who can stay awake. Here we go.
All participants are now muted.
Let it run 20 seconds. Get past this censored part. And you don't have to take the censorship personally. It's protecting certain identities, which are necessary. We're being polite. Okay, right there.
Okay, Jonathan, carry on.
I'd like to go back to KV35YL. The damage that was done by what the archaeologists say, with the chest cavity being caved in and the right arm being removed. Is it done by Tomb Raiders, or was there something there actually involving the Ascension?
No, we're sorry. That was Bob.
No.
And those parts that are missing are under the Sphinx's left front paw in a room.
Were they significant? Why were they removed and hidden?
It had to go with the original, with the real eye block, and it had to go with it to prove it.
Yeah, remember, Jonathan, these major pyramids were built by Moses. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with Moses, so I'm part of that. That's Ophanel. Ophanel's works. And so Ophanel put the Dobstown, I call it Dobstown artifacts, in there.
Well, it was Imhotep. It was Imhotep. Imhotep did it, Bob.
What did I do with Imhotep? Anything?
You told him to what to do.
Oh, okay, right.
You know how you boss everybody around, or everybody's cleaning up your damn messes all the time, Bob. You tear shit up, and everybody else has to run around and clean it up and fuss, and then they still have to do it, and the energy it takes to get you to do it, they could have just done it themselves, and so that's what they do.
The freewheeling. Open out the cobab. the freewheeling Ophanel Hobab.
But now you got to watch out for King A.
Who's that, John?
King A. No, King A.
So
he was before Tutankhamun.
King A-Y-E?
It's A-Y. Mm-hmm.
A-Y. Oh, A.
A. That's why we said Pharaoh A. Yeah. That's the one.
Oh. Okay.
He's a bad motherfucker.
Is he, whoever the guy was, his name began with M, who competed with Sherlock Holmes, forget his name.
Moriarty.
Is King A Ophanel's Moriarty?
No. It's good, but no.
Okay.
It was close. You were very close, but no.
Ophanel doesn't have a Moriarty.
Well, but see, if you keep going there, you're going to end up with Alexander the Great. And then you're going to be really pissed off because you're going to go the different direction.
Did he seriously put a warp in plans that were in action?
He undid all of Macedonia.
Yeah.
All of it. I mean, the good thing he did is he actually brought Babylon up to snuff. Because, see, you couldn't do what you're doing. You, Bob, couldn't do what you do right now without Babylon.
Hmm. And
so he's saying, but you, whoa, hold on just a second. You're not going to get away with it. No. See, without the converse, you have no obverse. Well, you're laughing, but that's how this crap you get away with works. Without that, your crap doesn't work. They call you bad names. Sometimes they do that anyway, but you don't care because of your position.
Yeah, and you're saying Alexander made that possible for me.
He did. Babylon.
Yes.
Babylon.
Jonathan, is there something else you want to ask about? You know, it's a wholly different topic. Case we finish soon, you might want to get that in. If there is anything else, we can pursue this if that's all you want.
No, we've hit the major topics, sir. I need to rework my questions anyway before with the better understanding of time. So I'm okay to follow down Alexander of Macedon and A.
Well, he cut the Gordian knot. Is there way more? Effects involving multiple worlds and this connectedness we're talking about than the details they tell and educate children about the Gordian knot ion?
Well, we would say, can we give a natural yes? How often do you get a natural yes? It's very rare just to get a yes out of us, isn't it, Bob?
Yes.
Yes. Now you get a do, or you get no, don't go there, oh, blow your brains out, or blah, 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 go on kick
We didn't
sales,
say that.
Something like that. Right, that's right. We didn't say it. That's right. So let's go soft with it and just say yes and let it develop a little bit, because it's a very rare construct that we can just say okay, or sure, or why not. But you're fixing to come into a new level, see, because now, Jonathan, this is your time. So you're asking these questions that apply for a specific reason, not for information or knowing, but for connection. You keep asking how to connect. You know how to connect the dots. It's the dots that are connecting you. But it's not the string. It's the line. That's the issue.
So... The line is the issue. What is the issue with the line?
The space between the line.
Oh, so the unconnectedness.
Well, no, if it's by rote, then every good boy does fine. Or F-A-C-E. Did you get the treble class?
F
A-C-E is in the angel diagram.
And it's also, he's asking, but he'll understand it as part of the treble clef, the notes.
The notes of music or what? Or
yes, by rote. Yes, by rote music, yes.
Okay.
We got to move it forward. Second. I think I got to move it forward 15 seconds.
Going to what Bob wanted to talk about earlier, it's been festering in my mind. There, as you know, Ion, Bob, there's this video game series called Assassin's Creed, which basically deals with some what you're saying. It allows someone to enter a machine called the Animus, which allows them to relive their ancestors' memories. Is that similar to what Bob was describing?
It's more of the stealth video side is what he gets off on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because like, you know, the train robbery, the missions.
Yeah.
Those, that's what gets him off. That, not that there's that, but that there's a train. And you're going, that sounds silly, but that's what does it for Bob. Or like the syndicate, you know, the syndicate part with the bank heist?
Mm-hmm.
That's not that there's a heist, that there's a bank.
So it's not the actions necessarily as it is that there was something or is something.
Our Monarch Jaga.
And what is that?
The Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
Monarch Jaga.
And you're not talking about the great train robbery of 1963. You're not mentioning...
See how he pulls it? This is what Assassin's Creed made that from. The Polygon. Yes. Very good.
No, are you entering me? This, it does relate
yes,
to the...
We are. It's
okay.
The Polygon.
Had you asked about that before, Jonathan, studied it, the great train robbery of 1963?
I know a little bit about it, but most of it's from popular culture, not so much the actual fact of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to move it forward. Second. Got to make it go 20 seconds. Great train robbery. One of the main guys in it got back in the news in the late 70s when the Sex Pistols went and joined him up wherever he was in Argentina or someplace. They liked the guy and they brought him back into the public sphere. One of the great train robbers. I think he's the one that escaped the prison, I think. Okay. Now at 105.46.